Okay. And thank you for reading the very long title of my presentation. And I'd first like to acknowledge the rest of my team, Carolyn Berry and Todd Mianovich, who couldn't be here today, and Maggie Paul and Beth Weitzman, who are here today. I have no relationships to disclose. So today, first I'm going to give a description of the program that we are evaluating and the evaluation design. Then I'll talk a little bit about, give some background information about the importance of homeless medical high flyers. Then I'll briefly discuss the methods and go through the results of our baseline survey analysis and talk about next steps for our evaluation. The program model uses data-driven targeting to find homeless men and women with high healthcare costs. This is a national demonstration project across four pretty diverse sites spanning coast to coast. The program activities include traditional supportive housing services plus assistance in healthcare navigation. It's funded by the Corporation for National Community Service as part of their Social Innovations Fund. And the sites, as well as the evaluation team, get technical assistance from the Corporation for Supportive Housing, CSH, and I know that there are some CSH people here today. And then it's the program's being evaluated at by our team at NYU. The main goal of the program is to reduce healthcare costs specifically. Also, it aims to increase housing stability. We will, as part of our evaluation, look at other types of outcomes, but really the goal is to reduce costs. Our evaluation has several different components to it. We're conducting a process evaluation. We're doing an analysis of program costs as well as an impact analysis. And we have several different data sources to support these activities. We're conducting multiple site visits over the course of the evaluation. We have a participant survey that's conducted right at housing and then a year after participants have been housed. There's no comparison group with this data. And then we have administrative health utilization data. And with this data, we will have a comparison group. The data sources for this utilization data and the selection of the controls group vary depending on which site that you're looking at, but we will have a control group for each site. And we hope to supplement this data with jail and HMIS data, and we're working on securing that right now, but we're not sure that we'll have it for all the sites. And then finally, we have site-by-site data on direct costs of running these programs. And just to give you a sense of where we are today, this is a five-year-long evaluation, and we're a little bit past the halfway mark. The last day to enroll participants was this past July, and we had 500 people participating in the program. And we completed fielding the baseline survey in August, and that's what I'll be presenting on today. We hope to have a final evaluation report sometime in the early summer of 2017, and we hope to see you all next year in Denver, where we we'll maybe have some more preliminary results. So just to give a little bit of background information, as I'm sure people in this room are familiar, previous research has documented the positive effect of supportive housing programs on the health of homeless adults. These programs have differed both in the structure of the program as well as the subgroups of the homeless individuals that the programs have targeted. But in general, they found positive health outcomes ranging from things like self-rated health status to improvements in behavioral indicators as well as to decreases in ER and hospital utilization. Then in a somewhat separate set of literature, we see that research on the general population indicates that there's a small subgroup of individuals that are driving the majority of healthcare costs. These individuals are sometimes referred to as medical high flyers. And recent work has tried to identify certain characteristics of these high utilizers. Some research has pointed to disease status as being a main driver of these costs. Other research have identified specific demographic characteristics that might be driving these costs. And it's likely some combination of these two. It's not that high utilization is being driven, totally driven by one category or another. And there have been some attempts to reduce medical costs, and these have provided mixed results, so there's still a lot that we need to learn about the drivers and the drivers of these costs and best methods to reduce them. But really, there's little known about the intersection of these two sets of the literature, little known about individuals who are both homeless and high-end medical utilizers. There have been some work that have targeted homeless adults with chronic illness, but are not specifically high cost. And these studies, this small number of studies, have shown that medical costs decrease after housing for homeless adults with chronic illness. One of these studies was actually conducted here in Chicago a few years ago. But high-cost medical utilizers may differ in important ways from the chronically ill. It's likely that these two groups overlap, but they're not identical. And the chronically ill are not necessarily the most expensive. So in order to develop appropriate policies and programs, there's a need to understand how medical high utilizers differ from the general population of homeless adults, both in terms of their demographic profile, their utilization history, and their medical and social service needs. In light of that, we had two main research questions driving this analysis of our baseline survey. So the first is, you know, what are the who did we get? What are the demographic and utilization profile of homeless high-end medical utilizers, and how does this differ from the general population of homeless adults? And in addition, we were wondering if baseline health utilization varied in any way within our program participants. So we used data from our baseline survey. 409 participants completed the survey, which corresponds to a response rate of about 82%. Today I'm just going to provide some descriptive statistics from that sample, and I will compare them to some other data sources that we have in similar populations. And then we also performed some bivariate t-test to look at differences in ER visits and overnight hospitalizations in terms of demographic characteristics, housing characteristics, behavioral factors, and other mental and physical health variables. So our sample was a majority male. The mean age was about 49, but there was a pretty wide range. And the majority of our participants identified as either African American or white. Our participants unsurprisingly reported unstable housing histories. Participants spent an average of about 6 years living on the street, but again, there's a really wide range here. Just over half of our participants said that they had slept either on the street or in an emergency shelter most often in the 12 months prior to being enrolled in the program, and 13% had ever been enrolled in foster or ever been a part of the foster care system. 41% of the sample said that they used alcohol regularly in the past 12 months. About a quarter said that they regularly used illicit drugs in the past 12 months, and that's excluding marijuana. And just under a third had heard voices in the past month. So this graph shows the actual healthcare utilization for the 12 months prior to housing, and just as a reminder, this is self-reported data. We had a mean of 7.8 ER visits in the past year, 8.3 overnight hospitalizations, and 1.7 psychiatric hospitalizations. And you may be asking yourself, was that high? It seemed high to us, but we wanted to compare it to some other data that we had. So to explain this graph to you, the blue is data from our baseline survey. The red-orange color is data from a survey of homeless adults attending FQHCs. The survey was done in 2009, and it was a national survey. And the green is data from the National Health Interview Survey from 2013, which is a nationally representative sample of U.S. adults. And what we find is that program participants were more frequent utilizers of hospital services than either of those two groups. So, for example, if you look at the second set of bars, 83% of program participants reported at least one ER visit in the past 12 months. That's compared to 59% of homeless adults attending FQHCs and 19% from the National Health Interview Survey. And then these differences get even starker if you look at the percentage of participants who reported four or more ER visits in the past month. In our sample, it was just over half. That drops to 21% for homeless adults and 2% from the NHIS. And then over two-thirds of our sample had at least one overnight hospitalization in the past year, and this drops to 23% among homeless adults and 8% from the NHIS. Program participants also present more vulnerability in general and mental health measures as compared to homeless adults and non-homeless adults. So we see a similar pattern here across the board. We looked at people who reported their health as fair or poor, and you see our program participants, again, had the highest percentage. For the second set of ours, our program, it was a percentage of our programs who program participants who reported difficulty dressing or bathing. And then from the other two surveys, it was people who had any kind of activity restrictions in the past month. And also we looked at treatment for psychiatric issues and people who were current smokers. So it appears that our program participants do have higher utilization and more dense medical needs, but then we wanted to look within our program participants to see if there was any variability. So this is a table looking at average number of ER visits by a number of different factors, and we see that greater housing instability was associated with more ER visits, but that demographic characteristics showed no such association. So there are no significant differences by gender, age, or race. But for example, among program participants who said that they slept on the street most often in the past 12 months, they had an average of 11.1 ER visits in the past year, which was almost double that of participants who did not report sleeping on the street most often. We see an even bigger gap between participants who had ever been in foster care, who had just under an average of just under 14 ER visits in the past year, and that drops to 6.4 for participants who had never been in foster care. And then those with mental health issues, substance use, and other health problems also had significantly more ER visits. This was true for all the variables we looked at, so participants who reported any psychiatric symptoms in the past month, participants who are regular alcohol users, regular illicit drug users, people who reported their health as fair or poor, as opposed to good, very good, or excellent, and participants who had difficulty dressing or bathing. We looked at the same set of variables, but compared the average number of overnight hospitalizations in the past 12 months. And unlike ER visits, we see that neither demographic characteristics nor housing histories were associated with frequent hospitalizations. And in addition, mental health, substance use, physical health and physical health problems, none of these were associated with frequent hospitalizations. So a difference from what we saw with ER visits. So in conclusion, homeless adults who are high-end medical utilizers represent a subpopulation of homeless adults who have unusually dense medical needs. ER utilization may be shaped by previous housing histories, psychiatric conditions, substance use, and physical health status, whereas overnight hospitalizations don't appear to be shaped by these factors. Next steps for our evaluation, we're going to compare health status, healthcare cost, and utilization pre and post intervention. We will be using the survey data, but again, we only have pre-post. We don't have a control group for that. And then with administrative data, we do have control groups, which will help with the robustness of our findings. And then in addition, we have some questions that we'd like to look at. For example, we want to know if the program will be more effective in reducing some types of healthcare costs as compared to others. You know, maybe we don't see a lot of movement on overnight hospitalizations, but the program is more effective in reducing costs associated with ER visits. Also, we will be investigating whether the program might be more effective in reducing overall costs for certain subgroups of homeless medical high flyers. So maybe the program will be more effective in reducing costs for individuals with psychiatric conditions. So these are questions that we'll look into as we move forward with our impact analysis. Okay, and then we have time for questions right now if anyone has any specific questions about this presentation. Yes?
I saw that you looked at gender as male-female, and I was wondering if you had
Absolutely. So we did include, there are transgender people in our study, but they accounted for less than 1% of the overall sample. And because we weren't targeting based on gender, we were just targeting based on cost. And in this preliminary analysis, I was not able to include them because the numbers were too small to conduct any statistical tests. But yes, they are in our sample, and they will be included in the final analysis. Okay, thank you so much.